House Finest Meats is offering a great bundle this week through August the 26th. That is bagged leg quarters and pork spare ribs for $39.95. Let me read that again to you guys. 3-pack of pork spare ribs along with a 10-pound bag of bagged leg quarters for $39.95. Go by South's Finest Meats today at 3201 10th Avenue and make sure you take advantage of some of their great sales through August the 26th. You are locked in on the Tennessee Volunteer Preview Show right here on the Stingray Show. And how will Josh Heupel do this season after coming off of a playoff berth last year? They went 10-3. However, they have a new signal caller because Nico went west to UCLA. We will be joined by Mayor Glenn Jacobs of Knox County, a.k.a. Kane, to do a deep dive into this Tennessee Volunteer football team on this edition of the Stingray Show on the Tennessee Volunteer Preview Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out, you're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Tennessee Football Preview Show. And Heath, here is a shocker. Can you believe that Josh Heupel is entering his 5th season at Tennessee?
No, it doesn't shock me at all. You know, Heupel, part of the Mike Leach coaching tree, probably the most successful coach from that Mike Leach coaching tree. And I have thoroughly enjoyed watching his Tennessee teams here over the past few years.
So, Heath, to do a deep dive into Tennessee, we are about to be joined by our good friend, Mayor Glenn Jacobs, who is also WWE Hall of Famer, Kane. Mayor Jacobs, how are things with you right outside of Knoxville as we sit here a few weeks before the college football season?
I am doing great, and I can't wait for football time in Tennessee.
Mayor Jacobs, is there anything extra you guys have to do to start football season? I know everything looks clean and nice and swept up, but what's the extra part on your part that you got to get ready for football season?
Yeah, so it really is a community effort, if you will. I was just over at Neyland last weekend for an event, and they're still doing some renovations to the stadium, putting some finishing touches on things. It was funny. I was talking with someone from UT, and they're like, yeah, they said it's going to be ready for the opening home game, and it will be. They do a great job. You know, the city of Knoxville works with UT as far as with the Knoxville Police Department, and just providing security, crowd control, traffic control, all those things you don't really think of. They do a wonderful job. They also work with our sheriff's department of Blount County, which is an adjacent county, also does some work. So, you know, you don't think about those things, but they all happen very seamlessly, right? Then, of course, all the businesses will have to gear up, especially the restaurants. And if we have a great season, which hopefully we will, you'll see a lot more hotel stays and those sort of things. So it's an exciting time for all of us here in Knox County. The university does a lot of work, but a lot of people around the community also do a lot of work gearing up for football season.
So, Mayor Jacobs, before we dive any further into Tennessee, we lost an icon, and you are a wrestling legend a couple of weeks ago. Talk about the legacy of Hulk Hogan, please.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan left behind an unbelievable legacy. He was really the person that took professional wrestling from kind of this niche form of entertainment to mainstream. I mean, you think about Rocky III, he played the Thunderlips character, and that really kind of propelled everything forward. Then you get into rock and wrestling, who'll ever forget the Cyndi Lauper at Madison Square Garden for WrestleMania, all the things that he was involved with. He defined as a modern day wrestling fan, he defined what the sport, what the industry is, more so than anybody else. You know, if I were think of my Mount Rushmore, we always talk about that, you know, Mount Rushmore of professional wrestlers, Hogan has a very prominent spot for me because he just defined the 1980s. And for so many of us, it felt like a piece of your childhood is now gone.
Yeah. Well, you got to finish out your Mount Rushmore now.
mine varies quite a bit, but I go with just the people that were the faces of the various eras. So I think of Ric Flair, then Hogan, then Steve Austin, and then John Cena. And the reason is, I mean, you could put a lot of different people on there as well. Undertaker, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, all these different folks. But for me, it's just the folks that really define the era or the company that they were in at that time.
So, Kane, I do want to ask you one final question about wrestling. Give us your thoughts on the final year of John Cena in the WWE. What did you think about the heel turn that he did for 5 months?
All of us want to play the bad guy at some point, right? And that's going to be especially true for a guy like John, who spent his entire year as the ultimate babyface. He's a tremendous performer. As I said, he's on my Mount Rushmore. I think he's actually underrated. A lot of wrestling fans look at him like they did Hogan as this one-dimensional character. He's not. John is a tremendous entertainer in many different ways, very passionate about the wrestling industry as well. So for me, I'm just glad that he got to do that because, again, that's for all of us. You get burned out, you keep on doing the same thing, it gets old after a while. To be able to do something completely different as a performer is a lot of fun.
Mayor Jacobs, have you ever looked at John Cena in a fun way and looked at him, played a trick on him, a gag, whatever, and say, I got a degree in thugonomics?
Never did that one. He and Daniel Bryan played a few on me, though, over the years. Oh, one we were actually in Moscow. It was my birthday, and they're singing "Happy Birth, John." We're in a six person tag match, and John and Brian were on my team, and they started singing "Happy Birthday" and giving me presents, including like the Russian hats, and somehow I ended up holding fruit. And then they left the ring, and John's like, "What do we do now?" And Daniel Bryan said, well, I guess we just leave him out there. Well, we were flying out that night. They were going to leave me in Moscow. So John had enough sense to say, no, we have to go back out and get him. I was much more Daniel Bryan, not so much John Cena, much more Daniel Bryan.
So, Mayor Jacobs, hold that thought. We were up against our first break, and when we come back, we are going to dive into the season for Tennessee and get your prediction. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back. Residents of Tuscaloosa, are you guys upsizing, downsizing, looking for college housing, or even relocating for your job right here to Tuscaloosa? If that's the case, then you need to contact Celeste Hagler, owner and operator of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, right here in Tuscaloosa. She can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Reach out to Celeste again at 205-861-5698 and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals and to live where you love in the state of Alabama. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving fried catfish with tartar sauce on a grilled bun, or maybe even a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter futures for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident eastbound on McFarland at Veterans Memorial Parkway. And if you're traveling on northbound Lurline Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, it's a 7-minute drive. Also north on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 9-minute drive. And watch for construction on University Boulevard. The road is closed between Campus Drive and Colonial Drive.
At Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
Well, getting back to football, from a point of view for you, you don't have to get details and give names because we don't want Morgan and Morgan calling all of us. But, you know, we see it in every SEC town, especially the big college towns all across America. But in the SEC towns, a player gets in trouble, DUI, fight at the bar, whatever, gets arrested. How many times do small things get brushed under the rug or just maybe a coach coming and saying, hey, can we just let this slide once? I mean, how many times do you get to see that or run into that?
Yeah, I don't have anything to do with that. You know, my job is not with, you know, the courts or anything like that. You know, I think a couple things to remember, though. Obviously, and I'm always disappointed when it becomes a pattern within a program right. that things like this go on, because you look at a guy like Rick Barnes, who is the UT basketball coach, and I think Heupel's the same way. I think all our coaches here are like this currently. It's not just about being successful on the court. It's being you're raising men and women, you know, to be successful people, to be good citizens, you know, just to be good people. You can't do that when they're out there doing things that they shouldn't do, committing crimes, you know, all those things. To me, that tells me something about the program. Also, I don't think that you can expect an athlete who is not disciplined off the field to be disciplined on the field. So if they're not showing discipline in their personal life and getting in trouble, what are they going to do when there's all this pressure, like in a national championship game or something like that? You know, so to me, it's just a bad thing all the way around. You know, at the same time, you know, they are young people, and look, young people do dumb things. We all did probably when we were younger. I think that sometimes some of those things are magnified among athletes. You know, someone else did that. No one would even care, but because it's an athlete, all of a sudden you have the spotlight on that. But that's also something that if you're in that position as a mature human being, you have to understand that. You have to understand that you are under the microscope. The people are always going to be looking at you. So I don't know how often that happens. You know, frankly, I understand trying to give people a second chance and all that. At the same time, you know, people have to be held accountable for their actions. And that's especially true when you're in that position, frankly. So.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. Our guest this evening is Mayor Glenn Jacobs, who is the mayor of Knox County that surrounds Knoxville, Tennessee. And earlier this spring, Nico, the highly talented quarterback for Tennessee, had a little bit of an issue and left for UCLA. Mayor Jacobs, give us your thoughts on the situation surrounding Nico, please.
Yeah, it was very interesting. And it's also, I think, a learning experience for some folks from NIL, because what happened was he basically, you know, was trying to leverage UT to give him more money, and ended up going to UCLA for about half of what he was getting paid at the University of Tennessee. It just ended up being a very bad decision for him. He goes to a program, obviously nothing against UCLA, but obviously not an SEC program, not, you know, a top tier program like Tennessee. And it was almost like a trade. And we get Joey Aguilar, you know, who was at App State and then at UCLA. It's my understanding that Aguilar, at least among our sports broadcasters here, is actually a superior college quarterback to Nico. Nico probably has more upside as far as athleticism, that sort of stuff. But as far as, you know, a college quarterback, you know, I think it ended up being a pretty good trade for Tennessee. Obviously, you know, one of the things that about the transfer portal and NIL, you know, it's really changed all of college sports. I remember when I was a kid watching the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals, and this was before free agency, and every year you knew you'd have the same team coming back, pretty much you'd have the same players, except if there was a trade, and trades were a big deal. That was huge news, and the players formed really strong bonds with the community because of that, you know. And now it's almost like you have a different team from year to year. We all kind of laugh here in Tennessee. John Fulkerson, who was a great basketball player, was here during COVID. I think he actually ended up playing like six seasons or something like that because of various things, you know. But Folky is like, he's just part of Knoxville. He's part of East Tennessee, right? And it doesn't feel like you're going to have, like, he was one of the last that's going to be able to do that now, just because people bounce around all over the place. And it's really hard to say how good's this team going to be, because, you know, who knows? You have all these different players coming back. So it's really, really changed the landscape in college sports, especially football and basketball.
Now, Mayor Jacobs, heading into the season, what are you looking forward to the most of this Tennessee team? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Is it the position group? Are you waiting to see the new quarterback being broken in? What are you most excited about this Tennessee team?
Obviously, the new quarterback, I think that he will fit into Heupel's system really well. Josh Heupel is a heck of a college football coach. You know, we think of him in these high-powered offenses, but he uses the players that he has. Instead of trying to fit them into the scheme, he understands that you have to take what you have and build schemes around them. So you see, when he had Hendon Hooker, completely different offense than what they had last year, you know, where they ran to a much more, went to a much more run base. So they're winning games by the running game and defense, which you wouldn't think of with the Josh Heupel team. But he's just very flexible, very smart coach. But if he gets the quarterback and the receivers and obviously the offensive line that he needs, he has some issues with the offensive line. I think we have to replace four starters, you know. But if he's able to get those, I mean, this would be one of the best offenses in the country. Also, the running game, we also lost Dylan Sampson. That plays into it as well. You know, you can have a great passing game, but you have to have a good enough running game to take the pressure off of your quarterback and your offensive line.
You think it's going to be the pass set up the run or the run set up the pass?
I think we're just going to have to see what happens this year. So many, again, you know, you have a different backfield, different offensive line, different quarterback. You know, some of the wide receivers are returning, but still just everything's different. So we'll just have to see what happens.
So, Mayor Jacobs, I do want to ask you, if there is a home game there in Tennessee, what is a typical Saturday like for you? Do you attend the games regularly?
I do. I'll go over and go see some folks, tailgate just to say hello to folks and all that sort of stuff. Have a good time before the game. Then go up and watch the game with everybody else.
Gotcha.
And afterwards, celebrate a Vol victory.
Yes.
Now, I got to ask, while you're walking through tailgate, are people yelling Mayor at you? Are they yelling Glenn? Are they yelling Mr. Jacobs? Or are they yelling Kane?
All of it. I answer to anything anymore.
But, and does anyone ever yell, can you lower my property tax?
Well, our property taxes are pretty good here, so I don't get that a whole lot. I did get a lot of, hey, will you choke slam me? And what's really cool, too, is, you know, when I run into folks from the opposing school, maybe, that are there and they recognize me and get to, you know, say hello and hang out for a little bit before the game and before everybody gets all into that mode.
Right. So, Mayor Jacobs, how do you think this Tennessee team is going to do this year? Please give us your prediction.
I want to say that they're going to go 10-3. It is difficult, though, because this team's almost brand new, you know. And you know, he used to think, Heupel, as you said, he's in his fifth year. Now he would be getting players who have been through his system and understand the system. But, again, you know, it's a lot of new faces. But I do think that Josh Heupel is a superior coach, and I think this program is on the upswing. Some folks might be like, oh, you know, they're not going to win the SEC championship and the national championship. You know, that's where Tennessee should be. Well, let's all remember before Josh Heupel came here, we were in the bottom part of the SEC. To just be, you know, to be considered up there with, you know, the power teams again, and you know, to know that, hey, you know, we've beat Alabama, we've beat Florida the past few years. You know, I think Heupel's 4-2 against Alabama and Florida in this band. You know, and man, if we can start getting to where we can beat Georgia on a consistent basis, you know, then you're back. So this is just going to be another step in that direction. But like, again, it is just hard because you have so many new faces.
So Mayor Jacobs, as we walk out the door, is there anything upcoming for you as mayor or maybe even Kane? Are there any kind of projects coming down the pipe with the WWE?
Nothing with the WWE that I know of anyway, but who knows? Never say never.
You said that with a big smile.
Yeah.
What about you there as mayor?
We're doing a really cool project right now that I'm super excited about. It's called Operation Heroes Hill. We're building a community of tiny homes for homeless vets. So it'll start with 20 tiny homes as well as support services. But the really cool thing is our high school students are actually building the homes. So we have those kids that are in the skilled trades and construction trades. They're going to be making the homes, and everybody's just, the outpouring of support has been amazing. You can go to OperationHeroesHill.com and check that out. But we're really excited about that.
So, Mayor Jacobs, I know that you are on a time crunch. You have a hard out to get out of here. Any final words that you would like to say about this Tennessee Volunteer football team before we let you get out of here?
Yeah, they're going to have a great season no matter what. The University of Tennessee at Neyland Stadium is on Saturdays in college football season. The atmosphere is unbelievable. But what's really cool is just, you know, to be here in the Southeast and, you know, to see all the amazing things happening in the SEC. Best, in my opinion, I think that the results prove it, best athletic conference in the country. So it's just really cool to be part of that and like I said, be able to go to these games at Neyland Stadium.
So, Mayor Jacobs, we would love to catch up with you the third Saturday in October to preview Alabama and Tennessee like we've done before. Good luck to the Vols, Rocky Top, and we will catch up with you later on. Thank you for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Take care, Mayor Jacobs.
Thanks, guys.
So, Heath, that is going to wrap up our first guest of the evening for the Tennessee Preview Show. When we come back on the other side of this break, Brian Silva of RockyTopInsider.com will join us to continue to talk about the Tennessee Volunteers and how he thinks they're going to do in 2025. Ryan Silva on deck right after this commercial break, right here on the Tennessee Preview Show. Hey, you, looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. South's Finest Meats is offering a great bundle this week through August the 26th. That is bagged leg quarters and pork spare ribs for $39.95. Let me read that again to you guys. 3-pack of pork spare ribs along with a 10-pound bag of bagged leg quarters for $39.95. Go by South's Finest Meats today at 3201 10th Avenue and make sure you take advantage of some of their great sales through August the 26th. It's dinner time, West Alabama, and if you are craving a fried chicken tender with Swiss cheese, grilled onions, and an avocado spread on French bread, that sandwich is called the Jose, then you need to check out the Coker Market, which is located at the four-way intersection just off County Road 140 in Coker, Alabama. Their hours of operation is Wednesday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Go by and check out the Coker Market off of County Road 140 there in Coker, Alabama, for community goods and wonderful barbecue.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Hey Tide fans, looking for something wild right here in Tuscaloosa? Bring the kids, bring your friends, and come to Bama Reptiles and Ranch in Northport. Just minutes from campus, they've got Asian water lizards, tortoises, colorful snakes, and for the horse lovers out there, ranch supplies. They are the cleanest and healthiest reptile store in the state. And their feeders? Best you'll find anywhere. If you mention this Stingray Sports ad, you will get 10% off of your feeders. Remember, Bama Reptiles and Ranch, where exotic meets extraordinary. And we want to welcome you back inside the Tennessee Volunteer Preview Show. We just finished up with our first guest of the evening, and that was Mayor Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, who is the mayor of the county that surrounds Knoxville, Tennessee. And now let's get to our other guest of the evening, Ryan Silva, who is with RockyTopInsider.com, to continue our breakdown of the Tennessee Volunteers after they came off of a 10-3 season last year. They did make the playoffs, so that was really good for them under Josh Heupel. However, they have a brand new signal caller because Nico went out west to UCLA after the fiasco in the spring. So to break down the Volunteers from the Rocky Top Insider perspective, here is Ryan Silva. Ryan, how are things with you before we get going here in college football with the Tennessee Volunteers?
I'm doing good. It's a great time of the year. I mean, we're counting down the days till we get that first week zero game going. It should be a fun one, too. It's not a bad week zero schedule by any means compared to what it's been in the past. So you can kind of feel it in the air in Knoxville. I'm sure you can feel it in the air in pretty much all of SEC country and throughout all of America that it's really gearing up to be college football season sooner than later, and it's an exciting time.
So, Ryan, now that you've had time and everybody has discussed this to the nth degree, but go ahead and recap what happened between Tennessee and Nico back in the spring, and how do you think that that is going to affect this team moving forward?
Well, if Nico returns, you would have expected him to take a significant jump, because last year he wasn't great. He wasn't bad by any means, but he wasn't great. He was kind of just a game manager in a lot of ways, and they asked him to, you know, really not mess up at times because the defense was so good too, and the running game was working so well with Dylan Sampson and the offensive line getting pushed on the interior. It was just, hey, don't turn the ball over. Let's just not do anything stupid through the air. And he did a fine job of that. And ultimately that led to 10 regular season wins, and you find yourself in the college football playoffs. Now, he wasn't great though, and he didn't necessarily live up to the 5-star number 2 overall player in the class billing as a redshirt freshman. But you talk to quarterbacks, or you hear from quarterbacks that played in the SEC and played college football, and a lot of them say they sat on the bench as a true freshman. They maybe got their first starts as a redshirt freshman or as a sophomore. And in their third year in the system, second year as a starter, is when they took a significant jump. So you were kind of expecting this to be the year for Nico that he got a lot better, and that maybe you start to, I don't know, maybe open the playbook. Maybe that's not the exact right way to say it, but at least start to trust him a little bit more and start to do some different things with him. And maybe the pass game does take a significant step in the right direction back towards what we saw when Josh Heupel first got to Tennessee. But we'll never know, because, you know, right, you get those NIL negotiations that are reported and a bunch of different things. And ultimately, the Friday before the annual Orange and White spring game, Nico doesn't show up to practice. And that was stepping over the line that Josh Heupel couldn't look back on. And from there it was a divorce that couldn't get solved. And Nico goes to the spring portal. He finds his way to UCLA. The dominoes continue to fall. Well, now Joey Aguilar, who's an App State transfer at UCLA, he doesn't have a job because Nico just took his at UCLA. So he enters the spring portal. Tennessee, with very limited options on who they're going to get at quarterback in the spring window, they end up getting Joey Aguilar. And now, you know, just a couple days ago, Joey Aguilar is named the starter at Tennessee. It was a quarterback battle. He wasn't promised the starting job when he transferred to Tennessee. He had to earn it over redshirt freshman Jake Merklinger and true freshman George McIntyre, who were both very highly rated recruits. Mm-hmm. But Tennessee feels like Joey Aguilar gives him the best chance to win right now. The big thing about him, he's got to limit the turnovers. He turned the ball over a lot last season at App State before he entered the portal to go to UCLA. I don't think Tennessee's going to put him in many situations that he'll be turning the ball over a lot in this year, but that's definitely the number one thing right now is, all right, you lost Nico, sure, you got to turn the page, you got to figure things out. Just don't turn the ball over too much and maybe play a little bit like it was last year, which is going to be a little frustrating, I think, for Tennessee fans when the offense isn't, you know, up to the 2022 Hendon Hooker level, but you still have a really good defense. So I would kind of expect them to just rely on that, rely on the run game, and just say, let's just not mess things up again through the air and just kind of take what's there and not try to get too crazy.
All right. Everybody is familiar with the skill set of Nico. You just talked about Joey Aguilar comes in. Talk about his skill set a little bit more and what we can expect from Joey Aguilar.
I mean, he is a gunslinger. Like, he'll let that thing fly when he needs to. And he did it at App State. He set in 2023, the year before last, he rewrote the entire App State record book in terms of what quarterbacks were able to do through the air. So the ceiling is a fantastic quarterback. Now, he hasn't had to do it at the SEC level week in and week out, and it was against Sun Belt competition. But still, he was very impressive when he was firing all cylinders at App State. It just all kind of, I don't want to say all came crashing down, because it was still a productive season last year. It was just a pretty significant step back. And he's aware of that. So when he's talked to the media, he's admitted, like, he was like, I'm still going to throw the ball. That's not going to change. Like, you're still going to let that thing eat when you need to. But if it's a 50-50 down the field and there's a guy 5 yards up and it's first and 10 and he's wide open, maybe let's just hit that guy and get the offense rolling and keep this thing moving instead of taking a risk down the field when you don't need to. So I think that will be the biggest change for him, is he has arm talent. He's not afraid to try to fire one into somewhat of traffic. It's just sometimes that's not what you're going to need, and especially at Tennessee right now where they're just going to want to try to roll down the field. And, of course, they would love the splash plays, and that's what Joey Halsley, the offensive coordinator, said at the beginning of this preseason, is that's a big goal for them, is to get back to creating those explosive plays. At the same time, you like I said earlier, you just don't want to mess up too bad and turn the ball over when you don't have to. If there's something open just short of the chains, I think he's going to look to that a little bit more than trying to fire one deep. But he does have the arm to do it. He can be a tough runner. He can lower his shoulder for a first down when he needs to. He is someone that I think works well in Tennessee's offense. It's just going to be, man, you only had the spring or the fall window to learn the offense, get adjusted, learn your receivers. It's going to be a quick turnaround, so I'm curious to see how that actually plays out when the season begins.
Tennessee not only lost Nico, but they also lost Dylan Sampson, who is in the NFL now. Talk about who is going to potentially replace Dylan at the running back position, please.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to replace Dylan Sampson because he was absolutely incredible. I believe he won an SEC Offensive Player of the Year award from the USA Today or a publication like that, because he was frankly unbelievable last year. Like he carried Tennessee to 10 wins at times when they needed an offense to go down the field after a struggle in the first half. They just went Dylan Sampson and he put the team on his back. It's going to be more by committee this year, I think. I think you could compare it a little bit more to 2023 when Joe Milton was quarterback and it was Jalen Wright. It was Jabari Small. It was a sophomore Dylan Sampson, and they all, you know, kind of just rode whoever was the hot hand that game. If it was Dylan Sampson that game, it was Dylan Sampson. If it was Jalen Wright, which it was more often than not, it was Jalen Wright. I think that'll be more of the mentality this year. You have a Duke transfer in Star Thomas, who also played at New Mexico State and who also played at the JUCO level. So he's using that last JUCO year from the Diego Pavio ruling. You have a returner in Peyton Lewis, who's going to be a true sophomore, who was a very highly rated recruit. And then you have Deshaun Bishop, who's a former walk-on local Knoxville kid, who's now earned his way to a scholarship role. He got a good amount of play time last year, and now I believe he'll be a redshirt sophomore this year. He's going to be relied on too. So you have three options. I think they like all three options. It'll just be a situation where which one of those three guys on any given game is going to be the one that they trust because he's having the good game.
So now let's talk about who Aguilar is going to be throwing to, because Tennessee is known of having wonderful wide receivers in the past. Who are some of the guys that are going to jump off the page this season?
It's a very thin group, and that's not been something Tennessee's had to deal with much since Josh Heupel's gone. Maybe you look to 2021, but this year it's very thin. So you have, I think, good talent at the top of the room. Mike Matthews is going to be the one that jumps off the page the most. Entering his sophomore season, he was a five-star recruit in that same class as Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith and all those guys. Now, he didn't have the breakout freshman season that they did, but he's still plenty talented and able to make an impact at that level, I think. And it was a bit frustrating for him last year, and he's talked about that, where you look at the other freshmen in your class and they're some of the best receivers in the country already, and it kind of can be frustrating that you're still on the bench a little bit and trying to work your way back to play time. He's accepted it, saying, you know, everyone runs their own race, and now he's poised to be the number one receiver for this offense. So he's going to have a breakout type of season, but he seems like he's up for the challenge and has all the talent and abilities to do so. On the other side, it's Chris Brazel, who was a part of Tennessee last year. He's a Tulane transfer. Didn't have, you know, a statistical season that jumps off the page last year, but he did show flashes. He caught that pass against Alabama to win the game and did different things like that. So he'll be on the other side. And then in the slot, you expected to be Braylon Staley, who's a redshirt freshman, who was also a highly rated recruit, but another guy that doesn't have much experience. So that's kind of the theme for at least a lot of Tennessee's offense, is guys that were highly rated but maybe haven't had to do it yet at the college or SEC level. That's a similar story for Tennessee's wide receiver room, because behind those three, it's a lot of true freshmen. You have four stars in Travis Smith Jr., Rodarius Jackson. You have a guy in the slot, Joakim Dotson. Amari Jefferson, an Alabama transfer who didn't play at all last year because of injury. So he's essentially a true freshman, even though he'll have the redshirt freshman designation. It's a lot of unprovens there, but I think the talent's there. It's just not a very deep room. Once you get past the two deep of freshmen, it's a lot of walk-ons and different types of guys like that. However, I think the tight end room could carry a lot of weight. They're very deep at tight end. Bring back Miles Kitzelman, who was very good last year. Ethan Davis is poised to take a big step. And then Desam Brame and Jack Van Dorsselaer are two true freshmen that I think again in the mix early. So I would not be surprised at all if they went to a good bit of 12 personnel, got two tight ends on the field, and used their depth at tight end to make up a little bit for the lack of depth at receiver.
So, Ryan, hold that thought. We are up against our final break of the evening. When we come back, we are going to jump into the defense and then talk about the schedule and get your prediction on this Tennessee football team. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to finish up the Tennessee Preview Show.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Friday edition of The Game, we're going to do a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll have some fun. We're going to catch up with Nathan Cox, a former player at the University of Alabama that sponsored the big walk-on scholarship that you saw on social networks. He'll explain why he got involved. We'll talk to Brent Beard. We'll recap a lot of things as we set the final weekend before Alabama football starts. We'll do it starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports program in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler, weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. And we have some slowing east on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway. It's a 14-minute drive. Watch for ongoing construction on Old Birmingham Highway East from 55th Avenue to Kennedy Mill Road. Also, long-term construction on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road. And University Boulevard is closed with construction from Campus Drive to Colonial Drive. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Buck.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender. Welcome back inside of our final segment right here on the Stingray Show. This is the Tennessee Preview Show. Our guest this evening is Ryan Silva from RockyTopInsider.com. He is with a new outlet this year. And Ryan, before the break, we were talking about the offense. Now give us a rundown of what you expect from the defensive side of the football this year for Tennessee.
I think they'll be really good again, and I think it all starts up front again. You lose a good amount of talent. James Pierce Jr., first-round pick in the NFL draft. Omar Norman Lott, very underrated guy on the interior of Tennessee's defensive line. He's now with the Chiefs after getting drafted. And then you have some depth pieces that go as well. Amari Thomas, who was a staple on the line for years, Elijah Simmons, all those guys out of eligibility. You're going to have to replace them in some shape or form, and I think it's the interior of the defensive line is a little thin. The top of it's still very strong, but when you get to the two or three deep, it's not as good as it was. But the edge rushers should still be absolutely elite. You look at Josh Josephs, who should be really good at the Leo spot, Dominic Bailey, Tyree West at defensive end. I think the defensive line should be really good. Linebacker should be very good as well. Arian Carter, Jeremiah Thielander are going to be the top two guys as juniors who have a bunch of experience already. Arian Carter is a guy that could really play his way into being a high draft pick this upcoming season. And behind them, they like the talent. And then in the secondary, too, you have the star power of a guy like Jermaud McCoy still battling back from an ACL injury. So we'll see exactly what his availability is throughout the season. But he's, you know, arguably the best cornerback in the entire country. Ricky Gibson III, another cornerback that they really like. Colton Hood, a guy they bring in from Colorado who could play corner, who they really like. Boo Carter, we'll see exactly what he kind of looks like this season as far as participants after a turbulent offseason for him, I guess is one way to put it. But he's obviously extremely talented too. And then they like who they have at safety as well. And Andre Turenton, Idris Farouk. So that one is just, like I said, compared to the offense, I think you have to be a lot more comfortable with the defense. It's a lot more returners. And even the new faces are guys that have kind of proven themselves already to some degree because of how much Tennessee is comfortable to rotate at so many of those different positions on defense.
Ryan Silva of the Rocky Top Insider is my guest this evening. And Ryan, we've talked all about the skilled positions for Tennessee. Now let's go on ahead and run down the schedule. If you would, give us a breakdown of the schedule and especially that neutral site game on August the 30th in Atlanta versus Syracuse.
Yeah, that's the obviously the one circled. Game one's always a fun one, but when you open it up against an ACC opponent at a neutral site, that'll be exciting. Syracuse shouldn't be as good as they were last year with Kyle McCord. I like what Fran Brown's building over there at Syracuse, but it would just be tough to see them live up to what they were able to do last year, which was really impressive because of all the new faces. They're starting a spring transfer too. Steve Angeli wins the job, transfer from Notre Dame. He just joined them for fall camp, so it'll be a battle between two guys that only had fall camp to get ready for it. So that'll be very interesting. But man, it'll just be so fascinating to see what Joey Aguilar can do in game one. And not against, you know, ETSU, who they have in week two, who Tennessee should cruise by, but against Syracuse, who is, you know, an ACC program. It's a Power Four program. So that'll be a good gauge, I think, to see exactly what Tennessee's offense brings to the table. I expect Tennessee to win the game. I don't think it'll end up being a shootout. I think Tennessee's defense will clamp down and really limit what Syracuse is able to do. And that should take a little bit of pressure off the offense and let you kind of figure out exactly what you have with Joey Aguilar and company. So I like that game to get things started because it's somewhat of a tough competition, but still a game that you should feel relatively comfortable winning. Like I said, ETSU next should be just, you know, a rampage for Tennessee. But then it heats up. First SEC game, week three, Georgia's coming to town. what exactly is that going to look like? I'm curious to see how Tennessee can hang in there. Right now, you have to think Georgia is going to win the game, but it'll be Gunnar Stockton's first like true SEC road start. So can you get to Georgia's offense a little bit and maybe make it a defensive slugfest and get enough out of your offense? I don't think that's off the table. Like, it wouldn't be the biggest upset in the world if Tennessee won that game. I just wouldn't bet on it. I would still take Georgia in that one. UAB comes to town after that. That shouldn't be much of anything. Go on the road at Mississippi State, a whiteout in Starkville. So that'll be, you know, a good atmosphere, but you also expect a good amount of orange to be penetrating through that whiteout, invisible over there in Starkville. So I like Tennessee to win that game just because Mississippi State is not the strongest team in the SEC after going 2-10 a year ago. They should be better this year, I guess, but still not a team that Tennessee should super fear. Got Arkansas coming to town after that, which obviously Tennessee fans will be excited for after they lost that game in at Arkansas a year ago. So I like Tennessee to win that game, but, you know, still a game you're going to have to show up for or else you'll lose. Then it's the third Saturday in October, and you have to go and play at Alabama. I don't hate Tennessee's chances in this game, which is a hot take, and it's one that even in Knoxville, people have looked at me a little sideways for. I'm just not too high on Ty Simpson. I think he's a fine quarterback. I don't think he's an elite SEC quarterback, and I could see Tennessee going in there and doing really what they should have done in 2023 and winning a game in Tuscaloosa. Because if you look back at that Joe Milton Tennessee team that went to Alabama last, there was no excuse for them to lose that second half and things just unraveled on them. Right. I think Tennessee has a chance to win that game this year. And if you need a bold take, hot take on the schedule, that's my hot take. Tennessee goes into Tuscaloosa and wins that game. Road trip, go to Kentucky next. Kentucky is, for my money, the worst team in the SEC this year. I think they are awful. I don't trust Zach Calzada as an SEC quarterback, and I really could not see Tennessee losing that game. Oklahoma comes to town, who's a very polarizing team. John Mateer could be sensational, and that offense could be really tough to deal with, or Oklahoma could get in their own way like they kind of often do nowadays, and Tennessee could be fine. That game I'm very interested in. I lean, you know, since I think it's a 9-3 team, I lean a win. If I'm picking a win over Alabama, I got to find another loss. I guess I'll settle on that Oklahoma game. Although Tennessee under Josh Heupel has not lost a game at home besides to Georgia since 2021. So Tennessee's been very good at home. It would be a somewhat, I guess, historic loss if they did drop that game to Oklahoma at home. New Mexico State, they should be fine with. At Florida late in the season, I think is a very, very interesting game because usually that's one of the first games on the SEC schedule. And there's so many times Tennessee has gone into the swamp or hosted Florida early in the year. Florida looks fantastic. Tennessee loses. By the end of the season, Florida falls apart and looks horrible. And Tennessee's sitting there going, man, if you could have got them late in October or November, that would have been a win. Well, now you actually do get that opportunity. And I think there's a relatively fair chance that Florida's falling apart by the end of the season, especially if DJ Lagway is running for his life back there for a good part of the season, which he might be. So right now I stay with the loss there, but I could be convinced certainly that Tennessee wins that game. Then you wrap it up, you host Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's a good team. If that's one of your tougher games in the SEC schedule, I think that says a lot about the strength of your SEC schedule. Tennessee has one of the easier ones in the conference. Right. Why I think despite the quarterback situation, despite some unprovens on offense, this team will find a way to go to 9-3, and they should be fine against Vanderbilt.
So, Ryan, look, thank you as always for taking time to join us. Enjoy covering the first week of Tennessee there in Atlanta versus Syracuse, and we would love to catch up with you during the season to continue to talk about the Volunteers of Tennessee.
Yeah, anytime, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. All right, so that is going to wrap up the Tennessee Preview Show right there with Ryan Silva and Mayor Glenn Jacobs, a.k.a. Kane, who joined us in the first two segments. When we come back on the Friday edition of the Stingray Show, we are going to be joined by a legend in college football. He is the writer of the best college football magazine. Mr. Phil Steele will join us to talk about how he got started with the magazine and then do a little bit of breakdowns on week number 0 and the college football season that is upon us. We will catch you at 6 p.m. on the Fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show, when we will be joined by Phil Steele, and we will see you.